I am joined in the studio by Dr. Philip Oldfield to talk about the Masters of Architecture exhibition. Thank you for coming in, Philip.
Hi there.
And so you said this is about solving grand challenges. How does architecture solve grand challenges?
Well, our Masters of Architecture programs are a kind of two-year program where we've set up four streams, and each stream's designed to challenge students to look at different grand challenges, you know, we're going to face here in Sydney, but internationally as well. So we've got a stream on architecture and housing that looks at housing affordability, a stream on architecture and high performance technology that looks at climate change. Now, all these challenges were going to require governmental input, you know, societal change and everything, but design can play a huge role in this. And that's what we're interested in. What can the architectural designer do to contribute to this?
Well, what kind of things are they looking at doing? So what you've obviously seen the designs, what kind of solutions are you seeing there that they're putting forward? Do they kind of pick their own problem to challenge and they say this is what will solve it?
Yeah, exactly. So it's our kind of final year students, the ones who are exhibiting, get a whole year to develop, firstly to research what kind of problem they're interested in, and then to start designing a solution. So we have a real diverse range. I mean, in terms of housing, for example, we have a student, James Pavia, who's got a project called Inverting the Dream, which looks at the kind of, you know, the great Australian dream of housing ownership, and says, well, what happens if we invert that? What happens if we no longer own housing? If everyone rents, what kind of architecture would, what kind of housing lifestyle would evolve from this? So, you know, it's relatively provocative, but what he's kind of saying is, we're treating housing as a commodity. We're treating housing as something to trade. And if we take that away, as a designer, what kind of solutions would exist? And his project develops multi-story housing, but has far greater areas of community space than is typical in our normal housing, because once you've taken away that kind of economic drive to make money, you can give something back in terms of community space. And his idea is that that would create a better place to live, more social interaction, happier people, etc.
So, Philip, I mean, for me, architects are very invisible in society, right? Like, architects kind of always like working behind the scenes. You know that buildings are made by architects, but beyond that, like in your daily life, you rarely would ever come across one. How big a role do they play in shaping our cities in general?
I think they play a huge role. For example, I mean, we spend something like 85-90% of our life inside buildings. And even when we're outside buildings, a form of the city, you know, how close is the home to the kind of the light rail stop? You know, architects are involved in all those kind of decisions. And if you do an architecture degree, you don't necessarily become an architect. You can become a city planner, city councillor, governor. You know, there's a huge diversity of opportunities for architects, and designers are, you know, involved in all those kind of facets of a city.
And I mean, if you're an architect, like what is your role like in today's world? Is it different to how it was in the past? Do architects engage with cities and people differently than they used to now, if you're going on from your architect degree to the wider world?
Yeah, I think so. I think, I mean, for example, we have a studio, the social agency stream in our master studio, and their whole studio is going out and talking to the community and doing designs around that. And there is a growing number of architectural practices that engage with the community to a much greater level. So that studio is based in Redfern, and they're talking to locals, they're talking to community workers, they're talking to arts facilitators. And rather than just designing as an abstract kind of thing, just a piece of paper and a pen, they're talking to people, letting that conversation drive the design. And that's very real. That's happening now.
So it's evolved. It's like sort of less than the sort of monolithic, like here architect gives you the plan. It's very much about consultation and working with people more than issuing.
I think so. You know, architecture's not just this, you know, the grand kind of architect drawing the vision of a city,
and
you know,
closed studio,
kind of ivory tower. Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. I think now more than ever, architecture is and should be involved with people. Architecture's about designing for people. And there's a huge numbers of even the big practices now have big public consultations on their projects. And that whole engagement, you know, we need to train our architects to deal with that. And that's what one of the things we do at UNSW.
And if you're just joining me, I'm speaking to Dr. Philip Oldfield about solving grand architecture challenges with the Masters of Architecture. And turning back to the exhibition itself, what are some of the more, I guess, unusual problems that you sort of saw addressed in the projects?
Sure. I mean, my studio and my own research is looking at skyscrapers. Now, skyscrapers have a pretty bad reputation. They cast huge shadows, big energy guzzling buildings, but they don't have to be that way. So we looked at tall building design at Circular Quay. And one of the projects, for example, looked at the sun, how towers engage with the sun. So typically you build a big tower, cast a big shadow. Instead, this student carved shapes out of the building to make sure light shone down into public spaces at different times of the day. But more than that, he also designed the facade, which was an energy-generating facade. So it was undulating in response to the sun, and all its angles aligned for the sun, was clad in photovoltaics, and it actually would generate more energy than it would use. So it's essentially a building that's a power plant for the city. And again, this might sound slightly utopian, but it's totally feasible given our climate at the moment.
With architecture, obviously the architect, is involved in making the building. They don't have any real say over how people use it, though, do they? So have architects, do you have a problem in architecture where maybe your building gets used for purposes that you wouldn't want it to, or gets sort of subverted into something else?
I think that's very true. I think a lot of building and a lot of architecture is designed around day one. You pass over the keys to the client, and then the role of the architect is kind of, returns to a different project. There needs to be more post-occupancy evaluation. So how are people using this building? How can this building adapt to different changes that we don't know about now? Office buildings being converted to residential as our population increases. We don't design for the future, we design for the present. And I think that's one of the major failings of architecture at the moment. But I think that's changing as well. You are seeing more architects involved in doing energy analysis of buildings and tweaking the building to respond to that.
Right across the road, we're UTS right across the road, there's Central Park, has like a whole facade of, hanging gardens outside the front. How do you think Sydney rates in terms of sort of standout architecture?
I think one of the great things about Sydney's, particularly in the CBD, is something called the Design Excellence kind of competition. So every large project in Sydney has to be an architectural competition. You've got to have a number of architects competing to design a project. So that means everyone's got to be on their game. There's no favoritism. There's no, I'll just churn out anything and, build something simple. Everyone's competing to do their best. And I think some of the projects that have come out of that, number one Bly Street, for example, which is the circular tower with a large atrium in there that's naturally ventilated, they have been driven by excellence. They've been driven by competition. And I think that's one of the things that Sydney excels at really well.
Are there any buildings in Sydney that you hate to look at?
Oh, not off the top of my head, I don't think. I think, there's...
Or that you love looking at them, make you feel great when you look at them.
Well, I think Sydney's best appreciated as a collection of buildings. It's a kind of...
Very diplomatic.
Edge condition. Well, I try my best. I think, I think one of the failings, of Sydney architecture is energy and how we use energy and our building regulations from an energy point of view at a global scale are quite limited. We still have a building stock which is pretty cold in the winter, despite us having pretty mild winters. I mean, it's preposterous.
Why is Sydney so poorly insulated? Like, why does Sydney just feel like, all the heat comes in your house and then just goes back out, when it's cold?
Well, our building regulations are quite low in the global scheme of things. So you go somewhere like Scandinavia, admittedly much, much colder, but far greater, tighter levels of insulation.
Do you think Sydney residents are in denial about how cold Sydney can get? Because Sydney, it doesn't snow here. It doesn't get super freezing, but it does get cold. And people seem to still, walk around in beach shorts and thongs, and you still have this mentality of, it's the always sunny Sydney. Do people think when they build houses, are they in denial of this, or do they just not care?
I think so, a little bit. I mean, I had a colleague who said, look, we deal with the warm here quite well. We don't deal with the cold very well at all. And I'll give you an amazing statistic I read. More people die in Australia from the cold than in Scandinavia.
That's... Wow.
And that is down to our building stock. It's down to how poorly insulated.
Now, is that like as a percentage or overall numbers?
As a percentage. Okay,
That's crazy. Cause...
It's pretty shocking, isn't it? And I think, you know, and the flip side of that is we know climates are changing. It's going to get warmer here. You look last year in South Australia, there was the big blackout. Now, if you're in a big glass building in a very hot day and a heat wave and there's a blackout.
People are going to die.
Well, exactly. There's a mortality issue here as well. Now, if you're young, you can get that, you know, walk down the stairs or whatever. You go to the mall, mm-hmm. you chill out in the air conditioning. If you're elderly or unwell, you know, there's a real health issue there as well. So this is not just about energy. It's not just about carbon emissions. It's about our well-being.
So, Phil, again, at the exhibition, can you describe to us what it looks like? What does it look like when you're in the exhibition space? If you walk in, you know, you walk in, you see these projects. What do you see?
So we have three floors of projects. We've got 220 students exhibiting.
Wow.
And the great thing about our exhibition is it's democratic. Every student exhibits. We don't just show you the top marks. We show you the breadth of what we do. 220 students, best part of 500, 600 architectural models. So our students build models. Some are 3D printed. Some are built with a hand. We've got double height shelving space full of models. So like 6 meters tall, full of models. But what you get is every student has a space and they present all their work on that space. So you can walk around. You can see some of the kind of ideas, the visions of our future city that our guys have thought about.
Wow. And your favorite are the skyscrapers, presumably? Any good skyscrapers among there that you'd be like, I wish I'd thought of that?
Yeah, I mean, we've got some great ideas. and, you know, tall buildings are very, very interesting for me. And they've only been around 100 years or so. But if you look around the world at the kind of things that are happening in high-rise, I mean, there's a building in Santos in Brazil, which is a high-rise cemetery. You know, so you've got 14,000 bodies in a high-rise building. The reason for that is there's no space to put those bodies in.
You can't spread out on a horizontal plot. You got to.
These are very rich, you know, people who are in these buildings with a better view of the city than some of the low-rise. Which is, you know, you've got to ask yourself about the equality.
You've got to ask about like ethical, you know, housing and ethical buildings and things like that. And it's a whole
exactly,
and that's what your students are thinking about.
Well,
obviously,
exactly, but it also shows that. You know, these buildings don't have to be monolithic boxes. They can be, interesting things can start to happen. And like you say, you know, Central Park opposite, we've got gardens in the sky.
And what's the reception been like so far? How have people reacted to the exhibition?
Well, we had a really good turnout on the opening night, 600 people, drinks, party, music into the night.
And only 220 of those could have been the students. So
well,
that's
exactly.
Pretty good.
So that's pretty good. People from the architectural community, the public. So I think it's been a really positive outcome. And it's a new curriculum for us. So we've only been doing this for a couple of years where we focused our master's program to try to tackle these challenges. What role does the designer have in creating a better city?
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much, Philip. That sounds really cool. And thanks for coming and sharing your thoughts on architecture as well this morning.
No problems. Thank you for having me.
And that was Dr. Philip Oldfield, Built Environment Senior Lecturer at University of New South Wales, talking about the Masters of Architecture show, which introduces ideas to solve all sorts of problems Sydney's facing now and will face in the future. The theme is Grand Challenges, Solving Them. It's going to continue to the 17th of December, so you can go check it out.